I want to invite you to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses. Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, O sons of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning, though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80, if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. Now verse 17 is the text. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. The word of the Lord. Congregation of Jesus Christ, it's 115 years ago that Congress enacted the legislation which said that the first Monday in the month of September would be known in our land as Labor Day. And when you and I read that declaration, it really bears no resemblance whatever to Labor Day as it is observed presently. Congress said, mind you, more than a century ago, that Labor Day Monday, tomorrow, should be a time of reflection upon the privilege and the responsibility of labor. I said this present time bears no relationship to that declaration. if not at all, in a very small regard. Labor Day tomorrow marks the time when campgrounds, summer tent revival services, traveling, vacations, most, if not all of that, will end tomorrow. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, will jam the highways in a mad rush to get home, because it could be that on a school will begin again, and we've got to get home and wash the clothes and lay out the children's clothing for school. A Labor Day is the time when churches are either half full or half empty. But we'll stay with the positive and say Labor Day Sunday marks the day when churches are about half filled. Of course, it marks the beginning of a new school year. It also marks the beginning of a new church year. Committees have been busy. The consistory has been working. Plans are in place. And all of a sudden, all the activities begin. You and I are caught up in a very busy season and schedule. Today, however, Labor Day, Labor Day Sunday are different, aren't they? Because this is the time of a national crisis. In the last 2 years, 6 million payroll positions have been lost. And it might very well be this morning that I'm talking to someone who has been laid off, someone with unemployment benefits, but they're running out. And yes, we have prayed, but we're still unemployed. It might very well be the time when we hardly have enough money to put food on the table. I read yesterday online the bulletin of the Elmhurst Christian Reformed Church, which we had a privilege to serve for a number of years. Yes, it's a church of 1,700 members. But today's bulletin says, to the knowledge of the pastors, there are 18 of the congregation that are unemployed. And as parents, we share the pain of our children. Maybe you have a member of your family that's presently unemployed. We have a son-in-law. He's completely unable to find work. Did you read in the newspaper? Not, of course, I don't read the Kalamazoo Gazette, but I read the press. And it estimates that in Michigan, 450,000 plus will have a Christmas without even unemployment benefits. So what a privilege. What a mighty privilege it is to turn to the Word of God and to this, the prayer of Moses. When I was growing up as a boy at Third Church, Dr. Masselink required that we not only memorize our catechism answers, but every week we had verses from the Psalter hymnal or the Bible. I remember this verse. O, teach thou us to count our days and set our heart on wisdom's way. Turn, Lord, to us in our distress. In mercy bless thy servants, pray. Psalm 90 is familiar, is it not, to all of you? But it is called the Psalm with a black border. It stands out, and around it, imagine that it has a black column all the way around it. And it's been called that because the psalm deals, beginning in verse 2, with the eternity of God. We read these words a minute ago. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. But then we drop down to verse 9, where we see ourselves as someone who withers and dies like the grass of the field. So the psalmist focuses upon the eternity of God and the frailty of man. Psalm 90 from the pen of Moses. Moses did not complete his work, did he? He came to an early end of his earthly life. Deuteronomy 26 tells us that the eyes of Moses were not growing blind by nature. His strength was as great as ever. But in the work of God, he had come short, had he not? Someone has said, he died on the wrong side of the Jordan River. He was not going to cross over with the people that he had led for 40 years. There had to have been in the heart of Moses a sadness for that terrible display of anger, and yet you and I understand Moses and what he did. I don't believe that in myself I have the patience that Moses had to deal with the people every day that did nothing but complain. Is it any wonder, therefore, that Moses left for you and me this reminder that to labor and to work and to be gainfully employed is a privilege. And we're learning in this recession that it's a privilege that we've too often taken for granted, haven't we? Life goes along, seems to go along normally, and then at a time in our nation like this time, God compels us to stand still. The psalmist said, "Be silent before the Lord, all the earth." And we begin to see that there are things that you and I thought were so necessary, and you and I can get along well without them. So it's a time of individual examination, isn't it? Some of you, I said some, I pray not very many, but some of you have the false notion that labor and work are the result of the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden. And that is totally false. Some of us have the idea that when we have to get up and go to work every day, if Adam had not sinned, I wouldn't have to work. I could just take it easy every day. Something like many people that I have met over the 51 years of being an ordained minister, a lot of people have said to me, "What a job. You work one day a week and you've got 6 days off." Well, I think by the grace of God, I've always taken that as just a moment of humor. And it's well meant. But my friends, Adam worked in the garden before sin entered the world. God looked at what he had made and he said, "Behold, it is very good." And God said to Adam, "You're going to work in the garden. You're going to take care to till the garden and keep it beautiful." And he worked not only physically, he worked intellectually before the fall into sin. God said to him, "Name all of the animals, the cattle, the herds, and the fowls of the air." And that too was before sin entered the world. So my friends, labor and work are not the result of sin. They're the responsibility that you and I have from God. And if we would take a quick tour of Scripture, we would find that the giants of Scripture are the people who worked responsibly. Listen to Psalm 104, verse 23. "Man goeth forth unto his labor, and he works until night. And it is all, says the psalmist, it is all in joy. One of the strictest, one of the most bold statements in Scripture came from Paul's inspired pen when he wrote to the Thessalonians chapter 5, if a man, we can add if a woman, if anyone will not work, he should not eat. Quite recently, I came into possession of a Labor Day Sunday sermon that was entitled, Thank God It's Monday. And the pastor very brilliantly drew a comparison with people in this church, maybe. He said, some people live by TGIF, and others of us live by the motto TGIM. What does that mean? Some people go to work on Monday, and by Wednesday, hump day of the week, oh, I'm tired of working. I can't wait till Friday. And Friday comes and we say, thank God it's Friday. The Christian never says that. The Christian lives by this motto, TGIM. Thank God it's Monday. And I can get up with God-given strength, and I can go to work. And I may not love everything that I am responsible for and have to do, but thank God for Monday. Somebody may be unemployed, and you would just love to say, I have a place to work, and I get a reward in the form of my paycheck, and I can supply the needs of my family, and I can pay my Christian school tuition and my church budget. Today, it might well be that someone here has to say TGIT. Thank God it's Thursday. Which simply means thank God that at least my employment is good for 30 hours of the week. My benefits may have been cut, but at least I am employed. What about you? What do you think? TGIM? I didn't always say that. Even though some said I was employed only one day a week. It wasn't all fun and games in the ministry. What do you say? Now the psalm with the black border, finally, has four reminders. The first is this: life's shortness. The days of our life may be 70 years. If by reason of strength they are 80, then is their strength but labor and sorrow. So we have a very short life in which to work. Secondly, not only the shortness, the strength. The psalmist says in Psalm 90 that the time comes when our strength fails us. So shortness, strength, and the final S, life's providential changes. Yesterday I was strong. Tomorrow I may be weak. Today I'm healthy. Tomorrow I may be dreadfully ill. Today I'm alive. Tonight, I may be dead. So teach thou us to count our days and set our heart on wisdom's way. Turn, Lord, to us in our distress. In pity now your servants bless. In the word of God, I know no prayer more beautiful than Psalm 90, verse 17. On us, let the grace and beauty of the Lord our God remain. Strengthen us for noble duty, that our work be not in vain. Let's pray together. Almighty God, from your word you have corrected us. We complain about our work, about our place of employment. We think that we need more money. We're dreadfully concerned about medical health insurance. There may be a number here, dear God, who are unemployed. We hear their prayer. We know their heartache. And you know their prayer. And you know their heartache. But we can still return to ask, dear God, may every member of this body of believers be gainfully employed, and if retired, then having the willingness and the joy of sharing our gifts that belong to you first of all. Father, we're so deeply, deeply divided as a nation. But to think that the president of our country would speak on the subject of education to the children on Tuesday. And it seems that most schools are going to ignore what he has to say. As he speaks to the nation on Wednesday night about medical insurance, the costs just continue to spiral. Then if we're unemployed, we can have COBRA insurance for a few months, but at tremendous personal cost. And so, Lord, you know the tragedy of our times. You know the heartaches. But you also know our thanksgiving. If we are gainfully employed and we haven't said, Lord, thank you for the strength to work and the rewards of employment, we would wish to say thank you now. And that there might be a time of coming together as the people of God, first of all. Coming together in not a false unity, but alone in the unity fostered by the Holy Spirit. Provide for our needs, and that for the members of our family and for the Christian church. Lord God, may all the expenses of war prove no longer to be necessary, that war may end justly, and that your protective care will surround the young men and women, some from this church, some from our families, who are in dreadful places of danger, especially in Afghanistan and parts of Iraq. Lord God of the nations, and our personal God through the Lord Jesus Christ, supply our needs out of your goodness. And establish thou the work of our hands. Yea, Lord, establish our work that it not be in vain. And all God's people said, Amen.